podcast family.
Yeah, welcome back, y'all. Folks, I just want to remind you that we're not giving medical advice. We're just sharing our open and honest experiences as we live with Lewy body dementia. Now I want to give out some shout outs for this week that we do every week. But first, I want to tell y'all, I want to say thank you to all our listeners. We're in 81 countries now, and we're on the doorstep of 50,000 downloads. So I want to thank you all. And here's some of our donors for this week. We've got Marcia Treffman, Raish Crossan. I hope I didn't butcher that, Raish. Jane Hooper, Anonymous, Nina Berg. And thank you to all the rest that keep this thing going. We also want to remind you all that if you'd like to be a guest and share your story on the show in hopes of helping others, just contact Linda Zappula or myself through Facebook Messenger or through our email, which is lewybodyrollercoaster@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show to share your experience of Lewy with our audience.
I don't know why I really like the way you say my last name. Maybe it's a southern drawl. I haven't said that to you in a while, but I really want to say it. Oh, we have an extra guest. We have a third guest waiting in line. Well, pop, pop. It's all right. My dogs have barked before, so we'll.
Yeah.
People get it. We're not professionals here by no
means. And mine is hacked.
We're professionals by no means, if people know, which talks about this. And a shout out to you all while we work to get back to weekly episode, which we have gotten one off every week, 2024, except this week. It was done. It wasn't our fault. The Buzzsprout site kept kicking me out password-wise. And so...
But it did come out this week, though. So.
Yeah, it did come out this week. Just not, yeah. You know how I'm like anal where I want it out on Wednesdays. And I think it wound up getting Thursday because I had to reset my password like 5 times for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and poor Andrews, it's Mardi Gras season down there and he's doing parades. And I'm like, no, but as soon as you get home, you got to upload it again. but anyway... 2024 is off to a better year so far, minus the little one day hiccup this week.
All right, folks, let's get this week started. This week, we've got two good friends from our support meetings. Sam has been a great big help to me in our Zoom meetings. Him and Megan both step in when I can't. But we've got Sam and his wife / care partner, Tracy, where Sam calls her Sweet Tracy. In our support groups.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Good to have you all with us.
We chose these two amazing people to come on this week because, as Curry said, Sam attends the meetings, the Lewy Buddies meetings on Thursdays at 3:30 Central. And both of them attend the Monday, Friday meetings most of the time when Tracy's available and not working. And then, of course, the spouses group at Saturdays at 2 p.m. Central. Got to remember Central, Curry. Not on Central. It's you. Always get me like confused because Tracy was like, is that 4:45 Central time or Eastern? And I'm like, it's Eastern time, my time. But anyway, we've been wanting to get you two on for a while. Because Curry and I both met Sam and Tracy and they came to my husband's funeral, which Sam, Sarah still talks about you hugging her and not going to cry that you're. And when you hugged me, it was like Jim hugging me. You have that hug like he had, but she just talked about you hugging her and holding on to her. And that really meant a lot to her. So I want to let you know that again, Sam.
Yeah. And they both came to our house when we lived there in Texas.
Yeah, we surprised you.
Yeah, and it was very special to meet the two of them. It really was. But Sam and Tracy, can you all introduce yourselves and share with our listeners your story? You know, things like where you all live at and when you got the diagnosis and how hard it was to get the diagnosis.
So we are from Atlanta, born and raised in Atlanta, both of us. And we had a retirement home in Delta, Alabama, and we currently live in Pike Road, Alabama. Our retirement home proved too difficult for Sam to get in and out of. And plus, it was in the middle of the country and very far away from medical offices, which, you know, when we bought it, we thought, oh, we'll never get sick. And I think Sam, in 2017, when we bought it, probably had Lewy body already, but we didn't know it, of course. We have three beautiful children and 10 awesome grandbabies, and they're 10 and under. So we love being
they're at the right age.
Yeah, yep. They're all, it's, everything is exciting. And it's, I love being a grandmother. I work time, and that's proving to be a little bit difficult as Sam progresses, and just trying to hold it all together and just, you know, be a normal couple and just live through this Lewy adventure.
Yeah, the best you can.
Now, how long have y'all been together?
Well, we've been married for 41 years, but coming up at the end of the month, we've been, well, actually next month, we've been friends for 43 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Long time.
Well,
yeah, that's amazing.
It has been a wonderful journey, and one that I have no regrets about whatsoever.
Me neither.
And, good deal.
And if anybody wants to talk about the secret to longevity, we don't have time here, but I would love to share with anybody that is just curious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. They're going to have your name, so you get lots of messages. So let's start. I'm going to start with you, Tracy, and ask you, thinking back, what were some of Sam's initial symptoms that made you want to seek a doctor? Or what did Sam first share with you that were his initial symptoms? Because I know you both have been through the ringer to get a diagnosis, but if you could think back like to the beginning, what some of the symptoms were.
The first time I was really wondering what was going on was right when we came home for COVID. You know, everybody was put into their homes and everything was kind of stopped. And he had some mannerisms that he was an over-the-road truck driver, so I didn't see him every day, or he would be gone for days. And we just really didn't work together all the time. But at that particular moment, I started noticing that he had one of the first things was his nose was always running, even though he was taking Allegra or Claritin or Zyrtec, just one of the medications for sinuses. But it was always running. And all of a sudden, one day, he had a really bad anxiety attack and was inconsolable. I called his doctor and got some medication for him. And, you know, Sam's mother had passed away in January of 2020. So we, you know, thought maybe it's just grief. He started spending a lot of extra money and not making very good purchases. Also, he's always been able to just go out and build something, and he was having trouble finishing simple task that he was doing. Just, he would measure something and measure and just many, many times. And I'm thinking something is not right with his brain. So we went and saw a psychiatrist, and there began our journey.
Now, Tracy is in the nursing field, so you have that going for you, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I'm in my career, actually.
Yeah.
In the medical field, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sam, Tracy just told us the first symptoms that she noticed that you had. But can you share with our listeners what your main symptoms were that made you actually talk to Tracy before the first doctor appointment? Maybe one Tracy didn't talk about, and how was it opening up to her about things that you felt weren't right?
Well, you know, it's always easy to talk to Tracy, always has been, for the most part. I mean, very slight percentage of time that we didn't see eye to eye, but those times were forgiven and forgotten, and we came to an understanding of what was proper in that scenario. But I actually didn't go to Tracy with concerns. Tracy came to me one day and after something major had happened and I didn't resolve the issue, the situation very easily, and she came to me and shared that she had been doing some research for several months on things that she had noticed that I was doing, and then certain things that I was doing very well, I wasn't doing anymore. And so, being an over the road truck driver, there's a very high expectation that drivers drive with a great element of safety in mind. That's the number one thing. And going back to 2017, I had my first accident in years and years and years. And then I had another accident in 2018. And both of those were in my personal truck, my little truck. And then December of September, October, I had a wreck in my big truck that was just out of the blue. Anyhow, when that happened, it just started, I started wondering, what's gotten into me. After a few months after Mom died, and I started having those panic attacks, it just made me want to stay home. I didn't want to get out of the house. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. I've all my life I've never met a stranger, and all of a sudden I don't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to shut down and not be very sociable. So
it was very different.
Yeah.
And Sam, I want to tell you, if you're anything like I am, you're going to crash after we get through recording today. It always makes me crash. It wears me out brain wise.
Yeah. And don't stress it if, you don't remember what you're saying, because it's, just trying to recall like all those things that happened in the very beginning. And Terry's right, because remember when he's sleeping for like 36 hours, he twisted my arm and then making me record, and then he crashed. So, but there's Tracy and Sam are still on their way back to Montgomery. So Tracy, he may crash for you on your last leg of your tube. Yeah. Yeah, so it's all good. So this one is for either of you. And I guess Tracy, maybe you, because it's you've been to, where I'm back trying to get him a diagnosis. So can you share what the diagnosis process was like? What doctor did you go to first, and how long did it take you to get a diagnosis? I know you fired a few, I believe, along the way, or
yes.
Yeah, but told he had it, didn't have it, had it, like we've heard many, many times.
Right. First doctor we took Sam to was a psychiatrist recommended by our PCP at the time. And we walked out of there and they told me that he had schizophrenia and bipolar. And I was like, what? That is just absurd. You know, someone doesn't get to be 63 or whatever Sam was at the time and have schizophrenia or bipolar disease. They didn't know him prior. So the next step was another physician that was a neuropsychiatrist. And he did say he thought that Sam had Lewy body. Unfortunately, we did have to change doctors because our insurance did not cover him. And the bills were quite steep. And I knew that we were going to be having lots of, because all the tests that he was ordering, we were going to have a lot of medical expense. So then we went to another neurologist. That didn't go well. Then another psychiatrist, and he actually referred us to Emory Brain Center, where we started going. I think that was year one and a half. We've been dealing with this for a year and a half. And he sees a neurologist there at Emory Brain Center. He's on his second neurologist there. He actually got, Sam has a lot of atypical movement. And so he got shifted to a movement neurologist. So he's not actually in the Lewy body program, but because he has a lot of, and then he fell and had a head injury. So that kind of messed things up a little bit. But we have a psychiatrist there at Emory that is stellar. And the person who actually said, yes, he has Lewy body dementia, was a forensic pathologist, psychologist. And he did a four-hour test. Sam has had several of those, but he did one that was very different, and he came to the conclusion that, yes, Sam does have Lewy body. And that was in January of last year. So we've only had the Lewy body diagnosis for 1 year out of four.
Yeah, I remember when Sam fell hurt himself. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah,
but I've told the story. Like, I thought Jim had Lewy body from all my research. You know, like, we know our loved ones and our spouses, you know, better than anybody. And I was like, I don't think it's Alzheimer's. You know, like, I don't know. Many times we have people on that similar stories, right, Curry? What words, you know?
Definitely.
The loved one does the research, and then it's just a matter of getting all the doctors to.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To figure
it
out.
They only see for 10 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot make a judgment.
Yeah.
That amount of time, in my opinion.
And they can't. Exactly right.
Yeah. But did you guys do the skin biopsy? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did the same one. That we were actually referred to a neurologist outside of the Emory Brain Center.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see him for several months, and he was just up in arms. He couldn't figure it out, and he wasn't comfortable with He wasn't comfortable declaring the diagnosis because I presented so different than typical Lewy body patient. And so after another couple of visits with him, and I just felt like he was about ready to kick us to the curb, I asked him if he could do the SYN1 biopsy for us and just kind of give us some closure. Well, he did the SYN1 biopsy, and my results came back negative for Lewy body dementia. But in those follow-up sessions to that, he did say that there might be some indications that would justify a Lewy body diagnosis. But because I presented so different, he wouldn't be willing to go that far and actually make it an official, you know, probable Lewy body diagnosis. And so we went back to the Emory Brain Center, and my psychiatrist said that there was a particular forensic psychologist that he wanted me to go see, and so we set that up, and that's what Tracy was talking about a minute ago, where he did the testing in like October, November, and then he told us it would be months or weeks or months before he submitted his report. And that was in January when he submitted the report, declaring that he was diagnosing me with Lewy body dementia. And from there, that gave us a great deal of closure, and it really helped me to
accept it more.
Well, I can't really say that I was in denial. It was more an element of confusion. Well, if it's not Lewy body, then what is it? Can we figure out if it's something else? So for him to give us that diagnosis, and I say he gave us the diagnosis because it really is an us thing. So it's where we both have to share the burden, and y'all, my sweet Tracy does it so gracefully, and she's very transparent with me, and she tells me the real stuff that's going on. I think it was yesterday, she said, I gotta have a vacation. And y'all, she's been out of work. Can I share that?
Sure.
She's been out of work now for a couple of weeks, but we've had some major things come up in our home, in Pike Road, and also with the property that the cabin that we sold. We've had some things come up with it that are kind of ugly, and it's going to be a steep uphill climb to resolve all that. And that brings up the frustration for me, is because we used to share these burdens together. We used to be able to resolve them and process them, and we knew the people that we needed to talk to help us get through it. And it, you know, it's just not that way now, and it's frustrating for me because I know I used to be able to help, but I can't help anymore. It's frustrating. So,
you know, y'all was talking about how hard it was to get a diagnosis. I know. Well, every doctor's appointment Linda and I went to, we would think, okay, this is the one, they're going to tell us what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, well, we can't find anything wrong with you. You know, can't find anything wrong with your heart. Can't find anything with your lungs. Can't find anything wrong with your brain, but you got to have a tumor in your brain, you know? And it's just really stressful. And to me, it was a relief to get a diagnosis and to finally find out what was wrong with me. I knew something was wrong. I just couldn't put a name to it. So I know how hard it was.
Yeah. And I just want to, like, when you were talking, Sam, telling your story, I wrote down a word that you said that just screamed at me, is the doctor said, you don't present like a typical Lewy body patient. There's no such thing as a typical Lewy body patient.
There's like, no such thing.
Yeah, the doctors have to get that, you know, you don't fit into this nice little checkbox of symptoms. You know, it's just, Nobody's. I don't know if anybody in all of our support groups, there's no two people alike with symptoms. You know, and it's.
We all share some symptoms, but we all have different symptoms also.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that we got that spreadsheet, I think, that talks about our symptoms and what everybody has, what they don't have, and it's just all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What Sam is talking about is in our support group, or I think even on some of the Facebook pages, we had, if anybody wanted to share symptoms, share what the symptoms were. And it is all over the place. So it's funny you bring up support groups, because that's my next question for you, Sam. So in our support groups, and I really appreciate you helping Curry with the Thursday meetings, if he can't do it, and the Monday, Friday, sometimes you were, last year was, I didn't make as many of those as I probably should have, but I appreciate everybody that jumped in during that time. But you are such a positive force in our group meetings. Like Sam's the one, it's like, somebody will say, I can't figure out. And he's like, hit the three dots on the right. Like he'll talk them through the computer issues. And you always have something nice to say to people and asking everyone how they are. Again, helping computer and phone issues. So we both thank you for all that. But can you share why you feel it's important to attend support meetings for those with LBD and their caregivers, and what it is that you get out of the meetings, both the Thursday meetings and the mixed group meetings on Monday, Fridays?
Oh, that is so easy. Back when I first started attending the Zooms, the main reason I wanted to was because, you know, Tracy had told me so much about what my symptoms were, but there was not a much information out there about what to expect, you know, further down the road for me. Is there anywhere that I can get some clarity on what kind of life I could expect? So early on, I started to understand how everybody else was living and how everyone else seemed to have a place that they fit into the group, whether it be the jokester, whether it be the dog owner, just whoever it was very easy for me to come to realize that I needed to have a purpose. And purpose, you know, all my life I had purpose. I had a servant mentality. I had a helpful attitude. When I encountered somebody that needed help, we just helped them. And sometimes, it was more of a blessing to be a blessing than we were blessed more to help someone than the blessing that we passed on to them by helping them. So I just I came to understand how to help Curry and you, Linda, in the Zooms. But I just like that I can retain that part, and the reason I'm able to retain it is just it's through repetitiveness, doing the same thing over and over. But I mean, even then, there are still days that I can't remember about those three little dots you talked about. I just, you know, but most of the time there's somebody else in our caregiver and patient support groups. There's usually somebody in there that can pick up the ball where I drop it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, and we've talked about it on here before, is it's it's not mine and Curry's support group. It's like everybody's support group. And, you know, sometimes I got to run out to a doctor's appointment or Curry needs to zip off. And we don't always have to even be on screen. And some everybody.
Or I have to sleep through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is, well, everybody should help other people because I think that's why we were put here on Earth.
Sam does a really good job at helping people. I mean,
he really does.
I really appreciate him.
Yeah. And how about you, Tracy? What are your thoughts on attending the support meetings?
I loved doing it in the beginning. And of course, that's how you and I met. And I really did get a lot from them. I kind of changed a little bit when spouses started dying. That was very hard on me. And also the group kind of started changing a little bit. And it wasn't as tight-knit group. So I kind of stepped back from that. And I plan to go back. And
yeah, she's talking about the Saturday group.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly, it's become bigger. So it's, you know, it's hard to stay tight knit, but it's,
right. Yeah. But as we have grown,
definitely.
It has grown. And I do better with small groups of people and sharing those intimate things that we would talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's a great idea. I think that they're doing a great job helping spouses. Mm-hmm. I just needed something different. So I'm gonna
go back and attend one with Tracy soon. So we'll hold each other's hands virtually. But what are your thoughts on the Monday Friday? Because I know you tried it.
I love them. I love the Monday Friday group. I get a lot from them. Not only do I get to hear what other Lewy body patients are feeling going through, I also get to hear what.
She's still there.
Okay, sorry. I get to hear from the Lewy body patients are going through, but also what the spouses are going through, and you know we're all going through typically the same thing. Many times I have been blessed to have Linda, Curry's Linda, phone number, and I've called her and, you know, said, help. Because some things that Sam does, other people don't do, or, you know, don't have a problem with. But it's just like, and it's just like Curry says, if you meet one Lewy body patient, you've met one Lewy body patient. And that is so true. So,
yeah, but it's even though we're experiencing Lewy differently, we still speak the same language. That's why it's, you know, many of us in the support groups, the Zoom meetings, have each other's private phone numbers and, you know, just reach out when we need to reach out. And I think that's one of the powerful things that has happened with the groups. Because it is a Lewy family, you know. It just becomes a family who we speak the same language, you know, even if it might be a different symptom. So I want to ask you both of this. It's up to you. Well, you probably both want to weigh in. So back in 2022, we all met for the first time when Jim and I were on our. Oh, yeah, I think one of our maiden voyages with the RV trip. And then again, when I made it to Curry's, and you both came to Texas and surprised him. The first time I met Sam and Tracy, we met at a campground somewhere. I don't even remember. Was it near Montgomery?
Montgomery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen Tracy and we've talked, you know, and we hugged for like a really, really long time. I just didn't want to let you go because you were the first caregiver I met, Lewy caregiver I met in person. So can you both share how powerful it is to meet somebody in the support group in person?
That meeting with you, Linda, was very monumental to me. I had been going through that for 2 years, and it's just to hug you and to meet you and Jim, it just meant the world to me and Sam. And we, I don't know if you remember, but it was really late, and it was all these things that had happened that day that probably we shouldn't have met, but we did, and we did it on purpose, and it was just very heartfelt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was the same with us. We got there late because one of the brake lights went out on the Mini Cooper we were pulling, and my friend Manny thought he could fix it, and Jim was like, we can't drive it without both brake lights, and then it just wound up, I can forget what even happened. I think I drove it, but the brake lights wouldn't work if we were hooked up to the RV. So we wound up driving the vehicle separately. So we got there like 5 hours later than we expected to get there. But that was pretty powerful. How about you, Sam?
Oh boy, I remember that afternoon. It kept being, you know, a few hours later, a few hours later, a few hours later. And so I was really starting to feel sad for Tracy, because we had to be home that night back in Atlanta. And I knew Tracy didn't like to drive at night a great deal, but she really rose to the occasion with, as far as patience, the measure of patience that she had with the situation, that made a profound, it made a profound statement of her dedication to making this happen. I don't like to talk about myself. I'm not crazy to do that, but she was willing to make this happen because I needed to have it to happen, and it was when we actually got to where y'all had parked and we got to meet y'all, that's when I realized she needed this as bad as she felt like I needed this, but she didn't convey that in the previous hours in trying to make it happen for me. But just connecting with you, Linda, on that personal level, seeing how you manage with Jim, and thankfully with, he's our good friend now, but Manny helping with all that, and seeing just how you went about the next few hours and witnessing it in person. Words don't do it justice. So meeting Jim, I mean, he was obviously the first Louis patient I met. It was surreal. I don't know if it was because of the events of the afternoon, and then all of a sudden it's real and it's right here and it's right now. And you know, like you said a little while ago, being able to give a bear hug to a man that had Louis body, even before my diagnosis, there was such a connection, and our chemistry
clicked.
Yes,
I have a lot of pictures of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could engage him in conversation that he understood. He was very patient with me, while having difficulty finding words, and that just astounded me. You know, the people that I had been talking to over the previous, I don't know, year or two, when I would pause to try to find words, they would just start talking, And that was very frustrating for me. But Jim, oh my goodness, you've shared and we experienced firsthand the gentle nature of how he was and his dealings with people. Oh my goodness, it was profound. But Tracy and I discussed that meetup, and it should only last a short while because we already planned the trip to Texas at that point with the producers.
I don't think so. I think that was like a last minute surprise thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
But anyhow, we were needing to get away from Montgomery area and get back to Atlanta. That wasn't meant to be though. So we drove into the wee hours of the morning to get back home, and the power that is greater than all of us is what got us through. That was quite an ordeal to get home, but
being it was able worth to, it.
Yeah.
It was very
important. Yeah, and then I posted a really funny picture of you guys were checking something, and I still don't know to this day know what it is. It was something above like a speaker or something, and I think it was Manny would reached up, and then Sam was next reaching, and then Jim reached. I'm like, I gotta reach for it, and I'm like, I gotta get a picture of this, and I posted it on the support groups, like caption this. Because it was just, but there were so many, it's like we've known you guys forever, and same with Curry, and so many heartwarming moments and laughter. And it was just, yeah, it meant as much to us as it meant to you guys. I just want you to know that. And then the backstory is, when Jim and I finally made it to Curry's, I had been in touch with Tracy and said, hey, can you guys come out and just show up like a day or so after we got there? So Sam got to meet, and Sam and Tracy got to meet Lynn Curry and his wife, Linda. And that was pretty amazing also, because Curry's like, what do you know? When they walked in the door.
And he's a great cook.
Yeah. I got to tell y'all that my wife and I, just like Sam, Jim was the first person I had met in person with Louie Body, and Sam was the second. And I just can't tell you the feeling that comes over you when you meet someone else with the same disease as what you've got. And my wife needed you two girls there too. And I really appreciate that. But it like Sam says, it's an unreal feeling when you meet someone else with the same problem you've got.
Yeah, and your wife, Curry's wife is very quiet.
Yeah.
She's just a quiet person, but I know we were talking, and she just totally, she definitely needed, we all need to connect with, and other caregivers that are doing this, helping their loved ones. And it's, if you can, you're more than welcome for the listeners to post on either of our Facebook pages, like, hey, I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. Anybody else in the area? And try to meet up with people, because that's been happening in amongst our support groups as well. And we try to, as much as we can, remember to ask people to share about the support meetings and meeting up with people, because it is very, very powerful.
Yeah, we've got four people that live over around. Well, they're in North Carolina. I can't think of the name of the town. But anyway, they've all been living there, and they've just discovered how close they are. So they've been meeting like once a week to have breakfast or dinner, whatever it is, coffee. And it does. It really, it's just something like you can't explain.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to stop here for now and pick up with part two with Sam and Tracy next week.
And please remember, we want all of you to be a part of our podcast series and share your thoughts on topics you want to hear about. We provide our email address below in the episode description, so please feel free to send us an email with topics you want to hear about or you want us to explore. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yep, and our email is LouieBodyRollercoaster@gmail.com, or you can Facebook Messenger with our Journey with Louie Body page or our Louie Body Rollercoaster page, because we really can't thank everybody enough. And remember, we're doing this podcast for all of us, and we appreciate that you tune in each week.
Folks, as always, we will continue to post the link for the podcast each week for you in our Facebook group, Our Journey with Louie Body Dementia, and on our Louie Body Roller Coaster podcast group page, as well as many other groups. So thanks for joining us.
Until next week, this is Linda
and Curry signing off.